Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey guys, it's Autumn Ring with Beyond the Record, and today I'm here with rising R&B singer Landon Thomas. How are you doing today, Landon?
I'm doing pretty well. It's a good day. You know, every day is a good day.
Yes, absolutely. I love that positivity rolling in right from the beginning. We love to hear it. So we talked a little bit off camera about your background. Like, you're from Pittsburgh, you're living in Jacksonville now. So can you just tell me a little bit about, you know, maybe your childhood? How was the transition like moving from Pittsburgh to Jacksonville?
Yeah, absolutely. So Pittsburgh, I would say, is not the most diverse city, you know, but like everybody, Pittsburgh is one area, Philly's the next area, and the rest is Alabama. But in Pittsburgh, the one thing that's pretty cool is like it comes from like it's a rich cultural and musical city for the most part. Like a lot of people don't know this, but the first ambulance anywhere, like EMTs, were Black people in Pittsburgh from the Hill District, which is like a really cool little fun fact. But and also like August Wilson, all their backgrounds. But I come from a musical family up there. My mom was in a band. My uncles were in bands, actually on both sides. My uncles kind of battled. So it was always pretty cool to just, you know, be in music. And growing up, watching them make music, it's one thing I always wanted to do. Like, I would see my uncles do it, and then they would never let me in a studio. So I had to find my own way into the studio, you know? And now they look at me like, hey, little dude, like, what you doing over here? Like, I'm probably a little dude, but it's like, you know, they already knew. My mom knew I could sing. I grew up being a songwriter. So automatically something I've always been inclined and always into and invested in. Moving to Jacksonville, I didn't move until, let's say, spring of last year. So this is my first year down here. My daughter moved down here first with her mother. So it was kind of one of those things where I'm doing work up there, gaining some momentum, which is great. But I kind of need to be with my baby girl. So came down here, especially to make sure that she's comfortable down here, which is fun because Jacksonville was really diverse. I met up with a bunch of groups of people that are into music or content creation, and joined the Run Club, which is really fun to do. Yeah, I've never been a run person, but I'm like, I'll go and run. So now it's a fun thing to do. But it's been a pretty cool transition, especially being close to Atlanta and close to other places, and also my music being able to spread already. So it's like a really, really awesome transition, especially why things are taking notice, because I'm in school, I'm doing engineering. So doing what I love is, and also, and sorry, I talk a lot, but
no, you're good. Keep going.
I also in Atlanta have a seminar group, which they actually teach kids and educate kids on the power of words through music. So they're called Say With Music. I work with them as an engineer too, like as an side job contracting. So I'll go and engineer in Atlanta or in other states with them whenever needed, and basically help kids write a song for their program. So yeah, it's really interesting, really fun stuff. And so I can, this year I can say I'm a teacher, I'm a student, and I'm a musician while I work. I got like 8 jobs. So
you got to do it. You got to do it where you can do it. I absolutely love that. I come from a family of teachers as well. Like, both of my parents are teachers. So whenever I'm able to talk to like other teachers and stuff like that, it's always like such a good feeling, warm feeling. Love school. So you're in engineering. Is it like a specific type of engineering are you majoring in?
So right now it's audio engineering, which is just music engineering so that I can run a studio. I want to build my own studio and do kind of an educating studio because like my daughter's into music. Like she just came to me yesterday and was like, Dad, I can't get the songs out of my head. And like she was writing songs and then she's just looking for a lid for her pencil so that she can go and doodle. And then she'll come in and sing me a song she wrote. And it's just so funny because I'm 31 with a 10-year-old. So he's just so hilarious to watch grow up and see what she wants to do and really getting into art. And yeah, it's just, it's hilarious because it makes you think, huh, I could do this and teach it at the same time. And then it's not just the, hey, do as I say, do as I'm doing type of thing, like lead by example more so. And she gets to watch me and lead by example. And then there's people that will listen to your music and wonder how you do it. So, or just do certain things. So I talk to people constantly about it. I'm like, why don't I just kind of take an educating role in this too, in this field, because a lot of people want to make music. And then there's so many things you could do with music, not just be an artist. You could placements, teach music, design, sound design, you know, so many different things that you can transcend into. So I just want to be able to tell people like, hey, it's not just something that you could go in and you got to be the artist and you got to be number one to do. You could do anything in music and anything is possible with music. Art is a art is important to have for kids because it's an expression. So I love it. It always helped me express being a kid. So it's great to see her find something that helps her express. And it's the same thing I do. So I'm like, this is awesome. Like being a parent is awesome.
I love it. Yes, I totally agree with you with being a child and wanting to express yourself through music. Growing up, I did a lot of, I took piano lessons and I took a guitar lesson. And well, actually, like my I have a younger sister. She's a year younger than me. Shout out to Ari. And she took a guitar lesson. I took a piano lesson at the same time. So when we went back home, we would just like teach each other like what we learned to do today. So smart on my parents for not having to pay for like double lessons for both of us, you know. that was like smart on their part, but I think it's just a beautiful way to, you know, express yourself, you know, starting off. Like I definitely did some poetry and stuff like that. So I can see that your daughter's interested in writing as well, just because you're a songwriter. So it's beautiful when, you know, you can see the family, going into a project together. So I absolutely love it.
It's
so,
really
fun. Yeah. No, sorry. Keep going.
Oh, so yeah, my and it's funny because my mom, she's a singer. She was always a band singer, and I got the chance to write music for her. Like we went into the studio and released a song because I got a partnership with a distribution, which I had for about a decade before I knew what to do with it. Like it was such a random thing to get because being young, especially I think Apple Music didn't start around until 2015. I had was releasing under this thing called Reverb Nation from like 2010 to 2013. And you got to pay monthly to do it. And I always hated that because I was like, why am I paying to release music on a certain platforms when you don't have to do that? Most people shouldn't have to do that. So I went and did some research, found this place called Symphonic, and they were allowing people to come in as a label at the time or label partners. And I told them because I had wrote a song that got into a movie in Pittsburgh, which was like my first break on anything. And it's like, that's cool. So I went with that, took my funds from that and got my EIN number, got an LLC, and then was like, hey, all right, I have this. Can you guys let me partner with you? And they let me partner with them. And so I was able to release my mom's music for free. She was able to get on Apple Music and then show all her friends. And she now every time that I'm there or something, she's like, when are we going into the studio? she'll call and tell me, like, I want to go into the studio. Or can you bring me into the studio to write. So now I'm engineering and now I got the studio at my house. So now I don't have to go in and she only have to pay. So I could bring the studio to her house and she could make a song there. It's just so funny because she had never really recorded herself in a studio because she always did live. And then she just took to it within like an hour. And now she likes to release me.
One. That's exactly how she was able to do it. That's I think it's so awesome because it seems like you're still so involved, you know, with your family, like now helping them out through the research you've done for the music industry as well. So that's really great. I love talking to people who are interested in like not only just singing or just writing as well, but just like the technical side of it has always been super, super interesting to me. So the fact that you're doing audio engineering as well, then just like helping your mom out at the same time is like super cool. I love it. Let's get into some of your music. I want people to know, like, who is Landon Thomas? How would you describe your own music?
I would say really 90s coded. I grew up on Jodeci. So, you know, Jodeci, Boyz II Men, Usher. Usher's probably like my goat, I would say that. Because, yeah, just listening to, I remember listening, I had to be about four. And just like, that's when Maui came out. And yeah, just seeing him on everything. Like, I remember watching on episodes of Moesha and then seeing him. I'm like, oh, he acts and he does this? I want to do that. And that was kind of like my big catalyst into getting into music, that and my mom making me watch The Temptations a lot. So it was like always a thing, a music theme in the household. And I kind of took to that sound really easy because, you know, it's about love. You know, it's not saying it's simple, but it's something that we all go through. It's something that we all feel. And just that particular sound from, I would say, 91 to like 2003, if you listen to it, it's really passionate. I've always been a passionate person. And it really is something that it makes you feel something. It invokes emotion. So through my releases, it's kind of like, yeah, you can hear a lot of that. I had a friend tell me, like, you're a student of the game. So I would say that's kind of what I am. I'm a student. But I also just like, I love this sound. I love, you know, what we do, and everything, anything from like a specific sound in R&B. So say 90s coded, soulful, still hip hop leaning, rock leaning a little bit. If you listen, like I always have like a little bit of little hint of something there, and really good story. I love to tell a good story in a song. So that's what I would say. Really soulful, really storytelling.
Yes, that's what I want to talk about. So before actually I get into some of your latest releases, what would be maybe, let's say, three songs that you would tell newer fans to tap into from your own discography?
I would say Garden of Eden, which that actually has to be re-released, but it's, you know, everybody's heard, like everybody's heard it, loves it. It's a great story. And then it goes, it's kind of cinematic. It goes from one part to the next and it just shows a range of what you can do. And just the story itself, don't get me wrong. I take the antagonist role in a lot of my stories. So it's never like I'm a good guy. Sometimes I'm the bad guy. And that song, I'm the bad guy, but it's something that you can listen to in love. It's something that everybody could feel, especially if you've been in love with the wrong woman. I think Garden of Eden is probably my top song, my favorite right now. Before that, and it's kind of the same thing, the song called Waiting. Waiting is kind of, it reminds me of Jagged Edge because it's about love. You know, it's something where, look, I want to be with you. I want this with you. I want to spend my time with you. I want to cater to you. I want to be around you. I just want to exist. And if you've like, and everybody's felt that, or, you know, everybody's felt like, look, I'm laying here with this girl and there's nothing better than being in this moment. So why don't we spend this moment or stretch this moment as long as we can? And that, I think that's a beautiful feeling. It's passionate. Everybody will love it. That's out right now. You can go and listen to it immediately.
Right.
And then there's this song on my last album. It's called Miserable. which is really, I would say, a little bit rock coded, but it's very, very, I would say, not sad, angry, more angry. Like everybody had a situation, and you know, everything that I talk about is like more so as the crowd has felt this. You know, you could feel it when you listen to it. You've been in a situation where you've, even if you're wrong, you're heartbroken by somebody. Whether you did the wrong thing or she did the wrong thing and she's moving on, and you don't have the right tools to move on or the means to move on yet. So you're just displaying your feelings. And I feel like Miserable is one of those songs where, you know, it's not a diss song to a girl, it's a real song. So, but, you know, it basically just talks about, look, the emotions that you feel whenever you're breaking up with somebody. You know, in the song, I'm saying, you know, like no sex on Sunday, no sleep on Monday. We burned it all down. Who you making love to now? Like, okay, you left me. What are you doing now? How are you feeling now? I want you to be miserable like I'm miserable. Mm-hmm. And this is a, you know, this is a problem for me if you're not miserable, how I'm miserable. And, you know, everybody's felt that. So
for sure,
miserable something. Yeah.
Like, I'm mad. I'm upset. Like, I'm crying. Like, why aren't you also feeling right. these emotions? Like, now you, don't piss me off. Like,
exactly. Don't piss me off. I'll come to your house. I won't come to your house. But because, you know, that's pretty bad. Like, I'm not going to come to your house, but I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen to old music and I'm going to cry for a little bit. And then, you know, if I do see you out, I ain't going to say nothing. Like, you don't even get I'm hurt.
Exactly. I want to talk about Garden of Eden, too, because I wanted to know, how did you, like, come up with, like, the metaphor that you use for Garden of Eden? I won't, like, give it away and stuff. But was there a particular reason why you used it, or this is just something just, like, came to you, kind of?
So I was kind of in a situation like that. At the moment where I was not with somebody, but how do we say, we had an entanglement. And it was a situation where she was leaving us, like a real long relationship, which, you know, when you're in a situation with somebody, you kind of tend to try to find comfort in something else whenever that situation gets bad. And we were both kind of in a situation where it's like, you know, where there's nothing to do and we know each other because we already had like an entanglement probably years prior. Okay. And it was kind of one of those things like where we were doubling back and it was just a bad situation. Like we know, like in this situation, it's like, I know I'm wrong. I shouldn't be here, but I can't help the way I feel. And you know, and like the beginning of the song is all about that, you know, and my producer, he happened to send me the beat, like literally it had to be, I would say 2 nights after this thing had started.
And, wow.
Yeah. And I'm like that. And then I'm an avid reader. So like the inspiration came from like just reading. I think I'm watching stuff like there's a movie called Devil's Advocate. Uh-huh. And Devil's Advocate is kind of like, you know, you're basically the dude's devil. The devil is the dude's father. And you're listening, you're seeing what he has to go through and all this strange stuff and, you know, the bad things that are happening in his life based off of his position. And like, it just kind of like, it was kind of one of them things like, look, you know, you're kind of stuck in the right side or wrong, you know, like you have every intention on it being right, but no matter how you put it, no matter how you spin it, this ain't the right thing that you should be doing. And then we did the first verse. I left and I came back to the studio with all intent on recording just straight out the same song. He goes, why don't we put a spin to this? So that day I wrote the second part. Like I had the first part of the song written after he sent me the beat, went in there, knocked it out. Then he basically changed the whole beat up. And I went, huh, I like this. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of let me extend it on like more on myself where, you know, how do you feel in this moment? So that's where it came out. Like, look, I don't really give a fuck if anybody sees. When I'm with you, it's Jodeci. Like, and that's how it felt. You know what I mean? At that moment, you feel you're in your feelings, you feel something for somebody. And even though it's not coming out in the right way or at the right moment, you can't help but feel like, look, what are we doing here? Fuck it. Her turn. And that's just how I felt, you know, and that moment, don't get me wrong, shout out to that girl. But, you know, it's not something that we in right now, but, you know, still a good person. But it was a moment of what I needed at that particular time, even though it was chaos, you know, comfort in the middle of chaos. So that's kind of the theme of that song itself, comfort in the middle of chaos. You know, even if it's not something that it ends up being what we want it to be, it ended up being what we both needed at that moment. And it helped propel her out of a bad situation and me into where I'm at now, you know?
Yeah.
It gives you inspiration. So everybody ends up blessed.
No, it's a good turnout for everybody because now we all have that song to go back to when we are in those moments of adversity in our lives as well. Because, yeah, definitely, you know, you look back on your life and especially romantic situations, you're like, wow, maybe like this wasn't the best move. But you sometimes, like we say, you gotta do it for the plot. And right. The plot for you was getting a song out of it. So like that it is what it is sometimes. And like, at least you can come now into like an older version of you and just be like, hey, like this wasn't the best thing probably, but you know, I'm learning from this situation. I know not to put myself in the situation again. Right. And you know, you just move on. So I also wanted to talk about your song Stay Home, which I think you released, I want to say like mid-year, like April, like springish time last year. Yeah. And it's about like a love that like didn't work out, the same thing kind of. But I just wanted to know like, but the way, I can't even talk. Hold on, let me start over. So I feel like for Stay Home, you are talking about like something that didn't work out, but also like it's also very like uplifting because you're saying like you're not going to stay down for long. So what are some ways that helps you deal with, you know, that type of heartbreak?
Write about it. I also learn how to meditate, which is crazy because like that song itself actually came out years prior, but weird story about that one.
Let's get into it.
I think around, it had to be around, wouldn't even say 2020, a bit earlier. But I had released the song around 2020, 2021 originally. But I had left my partnership with Symphonic at the time because I didn't know directly what to do with it. And I was looking for something that was more homebound, somewhere that I could reach out to whoever is my distributor and basically talk about, you know, how we're going to release the campaign. So I went with somebody in Pittsburgh for it. Mm-hmm. And at the time I was out of a situation, that was kind of like set, you know, repeated theme of, you know, heartbreak, write a song about it, move on, you know? And this song, it was kind of like, all right, I'm going to put a period on the end of how I feel about this and I'm going to move forward. And that was just empowering for me enough to look, let me get my freedom from this situation. I'm going to write about it, get over it. We're going to move on. And then I put it out and it was something that I needed to put out at that moment, you know? It was definitely fulfilling at the time. And it was something where at the time I was kind of, you know, changing, just evolving into what I wanted to do musically. Like I had found a new producer at the time. He was a great guy. And I brought him kind of the thought of the song. He looped it in a way that was a little bit different from what I expected it to be, but it was exactly what I needed at the moment. And just the thought of that, because, you know, we all deal with heartbreak. We all deal with different things. And I remember somebody telling me after that song came out, and actually a little bit after that, like, look, your music has helped me through a situation, or, you know, your music has helped me through this or that. And you realize that's what we're doing it for. You know, we're doing it to help people. It's not always about the data. It's not always about what's, you know, what we're looking at as far as numbers. It's about how we're invoking feelings of what other people feel, you know, and we all have pain that's relatable. Yeah. Like my pain is relatable. Like I'm not the only human that's been through heartbreak. I'm not the only one out of my friend group that's been through heartbreak. So it just makes me it feels good to be able to release stuff that I felt, you know, and to be able to write about stuff that's my own, you know. And that's kind of the reason why I write my own music in the first place, because I remember being young and somebody tried to write you a song and They write from perspective what they think R&B is instead of what R&B actually is. And you have a bunch of rappers that do that, which I think, don't get me wrong, great rappers, know some great artists that do so. But everybody thinks what they think R&B is, what they think your sound should be. But, and maybe for me, it's just me listening with their ear that I didn't like it, but me listening with my ear to what I'm saying is my truth. So it doesn't automatically have to be, hey, it has to be the most lyrical at the moment or the best verse in the world, but it has to invoke the emotion that you're feeling, and it has to come from being true to yourself. Like, learned that from Tupac. Like Tupac wasn't the great, like Tupac's the, probably the greatest rapper in the world with, you know, without being the greatest as far as, I'm flipping lyrical, miracle, hysterical, all that. But what he was saying, it related to you. You felt it. You felt Tupac more than you felt somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you look for in your music. You know, what I look for in my music, like, what am I saying? How is it going to make people feel? And that one was kind of the one that really was like, oh, people love this.
When I was listening to you, like that one stuck out to me the most too, because I think it was extremely relatable, but also was also like kind of like uplifting as well, because it's like you're not gonna like, you know, stay down for long and stuff like that. So it was really great. That was one of my favorites from you for sure. And I also like Moments as well. I think it's just very airy, summery. It made me feel warm. I don't know how to explain it, but what was your inspiration behind Moments?
So Moments, I feel like I wrote that at a time, kind of at the same time that I was writing Garden of Eden. And Moments was one of those ones where like I heard it the first time I heard the beat, I didn't know what to do with it. And I kind of sat on it for, I would probably say like 6 months before I actually wrote to it, because I wasn't in the mood for that. But then I don't know what made me go, ba-da-ba-da-ba. I just did it one day and I went, oh, okay, let me play this beat again. And then it was like, oh, I get it. I kind of like this. And the funny thing about that, because I have like, I told you, like, I think off camera, I told you I have a very diverse set of friends where each has like their multiple friend groups. So I go to the studio. I kind of write the hook on my way to the studio. And it was just kind of on some, let me have fun with it. You know, I smoke a little bit. So I was kind of, you know, went, smoked a little weed, was like, all right, now I'm feeling groovy. And then it was like, that's what came out, just ba-da-ba-da-ba. And it was one where I was like, look, I need a vacation. Everybody want a vacation. Everybody feels like they want that. And also, I kind of like the big inspiration of what I was thinking, like whenever I was writing it, is Instagram. If you look on Instagram, you see a lot of beautiful women taking vacations, and you don't see the dude that you went on vacation with, which like that's cool. I don't want to be seen neither. So look, like, look, we go on vacation. Look, you don't got to take a picture of me. I'm going to take pretty pictures of you like by the beach and, you know, living in the moment and we're having fun, you know? So I was kind of thinking like, look, this is what the girls do on TikTok. I could see a girl on TikTok, beautiful brown skin playing it, you know? And that was kind of the thought process to it, you know, just beautiful brown skin. She's on the beach and, you know, it's fun. And back to my friend group. So my friend, like probably the most thugged out person that, you know, ever known in my life. Right. Like always got a mean mug. Just, and like, opposite, like me and him are definitely complete opposites, you know, but he's a nice dude when you get to know him. But I remember playing it for him. And like I said, he always got like this. And I start to play the song and then it gets to the first hook and he's just like, and he's smiling. And that's the dance move that he's doing. And I'm like, oh, I knew that I got him. I was like, yeah, I got to drop this. This is it's like, I caught you with it. Oh, this is it. Like, yeah, it's coming out.
Oh, I love that. Yes. I feel like when you're able to, you know, like share like your art with someone, especially because you said that your friend is just like the exact opposite of you and they were feeling it, like now you know that it's cosigned, like it's going to be a hit. So yes, I like that. I know that, you know, 2025 has just started, but I want to know, what are some goals that you have for the rest of the year? Like, what do you have for your fans to look forward to?
So, even though it's probably going already be out by the time this come out, I'm, got to redrop Garden of Eden again, because, you know, had some little, moments that were off from it, but, it's coming back. On, it'll be on all platforms pretty soon. I'm working on a new project. I'm calling it Bad Decisions, you know.
Okay.
And right now it's coming out, like we're coming out with It's Gold. I think it's probably gonna be my best project to date because it's the first one I'm actually producing in-house by myself. And then I got producers that are actually working with me outside of it, which is fun, but it like being home to be able to do it allows me to kind of just have more personal moments with it, you know, and be more introspective. And hopefully that'll be out by the end of 2025. If not, it'll be out 2026. So I'm going to take my time with it. Do some festivals, hopefully, and do, you know, hopefully I want a tour so bad. I've never been on tour. So I'm like, anybody that's doing an R&B tour, please put me on tour. I will open it. I will go on a road. I will do it in a Honda Civic. I don't care. But you know, I want to be on tour, and just kind of continue to spread the music, do some videos and really make it more visual arts, which is great. I also, like I do a lot of things. So like,
that's good though. Yeah. Like I said, I asked for all the goals, so I want to hear all the goals.
I'm designing with my friend. He owns a clothing line. It's called Everything's Fine. Okay. So Tyrone, if you watch this, what's up, brother? But yeah, he runs a clothing line called Everything's Fine. It's about like, you know, it plays on mental health with clothing, also plays on like, you know, Black love. Like he got this one, it's like a Black novelty one. It's a gold do-rag and that's the shirt. And I'm like, that's awesome. So I love it. And me and him are working on just puns and just different things to come out with like my own extension of it. Which is like some doing some creative directing on that end. So I'm going to be coming out with a capsule with them, which is pretty fun. And, you know, just basically build and keep building a studio. I want to produce. I love producing as far as songwriting and expand my mind on it and songwrite for others. So everything. I have a goal to do everything this year and the next year because it's just you're passionate about what you do. And I love what I do. Waking up and writing a song makes me excited. I could go to sleep. And like my daughter said to me yesterday, just can't get the music out of my head, Dad. So kind of what it is, like, you know, I want to create. Being a creative is just like multiple forms of expression. So yes. I'm excited to create in any type of means.
And we're going to see it too. And we're going to support you as well. And how can we support you? Like, where can we follow you to learn more about the music that you're going to drop and all these other exciting projects?
So I'm Land From PA on Instagram, Land From PA on Twitter, Landon Thomas on Facebook. If you do follow my personal page on anything, just remember I say a bunch of funny stuff just because I like to talk and joke. So it's not going to be all music. Sometimes just on there like, hey, you know, like anything that comes to my mind. On there and say pretty much anything, and even some thought-provoking stuff, or even if it's not thought-provoking, it's just funny, you know. Or I'll talk about certain things I hate, like I talk about my cousin who eats Pop-Tarts without the crust. And what? So yeah, and he's probably gonna watch this too and really be mad at me about talking about him for that. Yeah, I always talk about him, or you know, just weird things that my family does, my family in general, or just people around me. So you'll see a lot of music, but you'll see a lot of fun stuff or creative stuff. And so follow everything. I talk a lot and I talk back. So of course, follow me on streamers, Landon Thomas on everything. Garden Eden will more than likely be right back out as soon as this comes out. And please follow Won't Stay Home, Waiting in Moments. In the meantime, I think you'll love it. It's passionate. You play it for your girl, play it for your auntie, play it at a picnic. I'm going to play it at a picnic. So, you know, we could make a dance to it. Let's make a dance.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to be keeping up with you and definitely, you know, look out for Garden of Eden back on DSPs ASAP. So definitely look out for that. And before we go, before I let you leave, actually, I want to play a little game to get to know Landon Thomas a little bit more. Just some quick rapid fire questions and then I'll let you leave. Okay. So I'm going to start off with the first one. What is your zodiac sign?
I am a Sagittarius, or as the women call me, a Sagittarius. So,
period. You're not wrong. Who is an artist that you would love to collab with in the future?
Usher. I don't even want to be on a song, to be honest. I just want to write for Usher because I feel like I got that 90s pen that Usher's going to love. And then I could update it in 2000. So Usher, please, please let me write you a song. I can't skate, but I will skate for you. I will skate to you if need be. So Usher, please, if you ever watch this or if you ever hear me, I want to write you a song. Jermaine Dupri, we the same size. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, no, we got to make it happen. We got to make it happen. What is your favorite concert that you've ever been to?
Chris Brown. But I'm not going to say it was Chris Brown's part, even though Chris Brown did fabulous, right? But at the time, I think it was Chris Brown's Fame Tour, and it was him, Tyga, and T-Pain. When T-Pain came out, oh my God. I was like, cause I love T-Pain. I grew up with T-Pain. Like I got I had the full Epiphany CD. I stole the Epiphany CD from the library and didn't bring it back. And I paid them back, by the way. Sorry, Carnegie Library. But like I had that CD and I'm like, yo, T-Pain is probably like the most formidable entertainer because it's funny. He was on stage. He was funny. He dances. He was pop locking. And if I meet him, I'm a dance battle him. I love seeing T-Pain in concert.
Oh yeah. I need to see him. I'm a huge, huge fan. So I definitely need to find a way to see him. Hopefully he goes on tour this year, just like hops on someone else's. So I would love that. Who was your teen celebrity crush?
Teen celebrity crush. So I have to say it's kind of like one of them things, like which area of my teens? Because I would say early on growing up, I would say it was that is kind of a wild question. That's crazy. growing up at first, even like through like early teens and then the preteens and even younger as a kid. Like, you ever see the show Tyena?
Yes. Yeah.
I used to love Tyena so much.
Gorgeous.
Like it made me want to take Spanish class because they had so it was Tyena. Then it was Rihanna for a long time. When Rihanna got the short haircut, like growing up, and as a little kid. So I'm the kid that had a crush on my babysitter, right? But I'm also the kid that wrote poetry at that age too. So like I was like that love struck kid. And like at the time, short haircuts were my thing because I saw Halle Berry in the Flintstones. So when Rihanna popped out with that, it was like, oh, she looked classic. I love that girl. Like, so Rihanna was like my crush from like all my late teens. And, you know, she's married now and we both in our 30s, but, you know, but love her still.
No, Rihanna will forever be a baddie. So like that is a really, really good one. What is an album that you'd love to listen to for the first time again?
Let's see. So for the first time again, I'm going to go Usher 8701. So that was like one of my, like I had two first albums I bought, which was like Bow Wow, Beware the Dog. And
oh, I loved Bow Wow growing up. So right?
Bow Wow was an icon.
Yeah, Bow Wow was an icon. I'm sorry, y'all.
And for the people that give Bow Wow hate, look, we don't do that here. I'm a Bow Wow, once they stand and we could fight. So like we don't take any Shy Moss hate here. I will fight you about Shy. And me and Shy the same size. So but yeah, Usher 8701, because from beginning to end is different themes. He had the Spanish song on there. He had You Got It Bad, Can You Help Me, which I still want to sing on stage till this day. And it was right before Confessions. It was kind of like his Michael Jackson off the wall, I would say. Mm-hmm. And that's like a beautiful album if you listen back to it. 8701, Stand Here. So definitely that top three albums, and it's not three.
Oh, yes. What was your favorite album from last year?
Favorite album from last year? SZA remake, you know, the SZA redrop, because I love SZA. That's probably like I'd say that's my adult crush. not even because like just like how she looked, but because what she be talking about. It'd be like, you know, we both go through the same things. We both reckless with dating. You know, it's just kind of like, dang, I love you, SZA. I hope you love me back one day.
She's really quirky too. I think that she has like an interesting personality. So like easy to attach to. Like I love Lana. The way I've been playing Lana, I need to be arrested. Like it's so good. I love her. I just love her.
Same. I feel like me and her would get together and have a great conversation. Probably play some darts or some checkers or something and just really talk.
Yeah, she seems like such a cool girl. Like, seriously, SZA, if you hear this, you know, she's from my hometown too. So I'm just like, SZA, you know, I got you, girl. I got you.
I'll come to Jersey. I will come to Jersey. Like, I will walk to Jersey.
come through. So lastly, so if you were a singer, you would be what?
If I were a singer, I'd be what? If I weren't a singer?
Yeah, if you weren't a singer, like what job would you have?
So if I wasn't into music, and this is going to sound really random, I would have probably went into the WWE. Because like that's another thing that was like just growing up I loved, right? And if anything, like they all started around the time I was four. Like my mom had Temptations movie, but we also had like Karate Kid and old WWE tapes. Like my grandma grew up in the South, so like all they used to watch is like WCW and WWE and Rock and all that. So like I grew up playing the video games and stuff, and I remember and this is why I never would have went into that range, but you know, in alternate universe this probably wouldn't happen. I remember like at the time, because it was like early 2000s, this guy's name is Jeff Hardy. He dove off a ladder into like a table or something, right? Like he was on the table. And I was just like, how did he flip like that? So I went and like my mom's room at the time had a couch and a bed, right? And a big headboard. I did a flip from the couch and a backflip And I hit my head off the headboard. Like, it was the dumbest thing I could have done as a kid, but I ain't never flip again. I guarantee that. I learned from that lesson. But yeah, in an alternate universe, I would have probably been in WWE or something like that. Probably getting hurt, hurting myself. Which I'm glad I chose something that's like, hey, I can kind of sit down and write something. Because yeah, I like sitting down. I do not like falling on my back. So.
No, definitely. That would definitely been a dangerous career for you. So like, let's just like, thank God that you found music. So that's good. I've had such a blast talking with you today, Landon. This was so, so fun. And I just can't wait to see what else you're going to do for 2025. Like, I'm super, super excited. So I can't
wait. I'm excited. And thank you. Thank you, Miss Autumn. I had fun during this interview. You're fun to talk to on and off camera. And we're both smiling. Like, look, look at this energy. We both smiling.
Thank you so, so much. I will talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. All right.
Okay. So that's done. And then.